Logos against a black background, a circle and square outlined in purple with text. Creative Scotland. Its Scottish Gaelic name appears below. A stylized letter W is revealed to be the filament of a light bulb that forms part of a larger letter W. West End Films. Coloured balls turn into paint splashes and dance around the centre of the screen. A blue shape houses the text, Screen Australia. Credits. Screen Australia, Creative Scotland. Wade Brothers Films. Five Name Films. Such Much Films. And Black Camel Pictures. In association with Southern Light Films, present a female singer performs on a stage covered in autumn leaves. Title, Falling for Figaro. Among the rows of the audience, a man is asleep, leaning on the shoulder of the woman next to him. He wakes momentarily and looks at the performance on stage before returning to her shoulder. She rolls her eyes. The woman in the audience smiles as she watches. She closes her eyes and imagines herself singing on stage. She opens her eyes, the singer on stage beams, the woman in the audience applauds, the man on her shoulder wakes with a start, applauding. The grand facade of the Royal Opera House, Tower Bridge, lit up at night. The couple exit a red car and walk into a terraced home.
Incredible show.
I'm glad you liked it. I was worried you wouldn't be able to connect with 19th century opera in a foreign language.
Why would you think that?
Silly me.
Are you coming to bed?
No, I have emails to send. Do you mind?
Hey, whatever you like. Just don't stay up too late. It's a big day tomorrow for you. Fucking huge. You're gonna absolutely smash it.
I'm gonna be making more money than you.
Yes, you will, damn it. Uh-oh. What a thought. You bloody love it, don't you?
Oh, I'm gonna make you rue the day you hired me.
Rue the day. That's very sexy. Sure you don't want to send those emails in the morning?
They linger, holding hands as he walks away. In the kitchen, she watches an opera on her laptop. Transfixed by the opera, she cries as she watches, a glass of red wine beside her.
Thank you.
In bed, she lies awake. The London CBD in the daytime. The couple sit next to each other in a meeting.
Thoroughly magnificent, Millie. I think that maybe comes close to describing our brilliant young miracle worker, a woman who has elevated fund management to a sublime... No, let me correct myself, to a sacred level. I mean, our client's faith in Millie challenges religion itself. It is a faith beyond faith. I hope I'm not being too restrained. People say I'm very grudging with my praise.
Absolutely.
But it's over to you. Magnificent.
He bows. Millie stands.
Well, first I'd like to thank our esteemed leader for his restrained and grudging remarks. I've been incredibly lucky. I'm lucky to have joined this firm. I'm lucky to have had you all as my teammates. And I am humbled, truly humbled, to have you ask me to head up this bold and inspiring new initiative. But I'm going to decline. I'm saying no.
Millie looks at her boyfriend, his mouth agape.
Serious? Millie! What are you doing?
Charlie, look, it's not who I want to be. It's not who I am.
Well, who do you think you are then?
Well, that's for me to figure out.
Millie, please, let me suggest something. It's not too late. I can go back in there and explain to Victor you're having a bad reaction to the pills you've been taking.
What pills?
I don't know, antidepressants or whatever.
I'm not depressed.
The whole world's depressed. You must take something.
You mean like vitamin pills?
One way or another, you're not in a calm state of mind, Millie.
Darling, let's just talk about it at home, all right? Love you.
Later at night... In bed.
It's not about us, Charlie. I've never felt better about us.
There's just something I've always wanted to do. That's all.
Which involves throwing away your career?
I don't know. What if I have just done the most stupid thing I ever possibly could have done? Would it really make that big a difference to you? Would you still love me?
Well, it seems to me that without a job or any real career prospects, you'd probably have more time available for creative sex.
There you go. Always looking on the bright side.
Get you in some leather, bit of S&M. By the way, what is it you've always wanted to do?
Later. I'm really tired.
She rolls over. He rubs his head and sits up. She opens her eyes.
Okay. I've always wanted to be an opera singer.
What? You mean... like in the shower?
What? Yeah, exactly. You got it in one, just like in the shower.
I'm sorry, I didn't
mean... No, don't worry about it. I knew you'd understand.
Charlie rubs his eyes, then turns away and takes out his ponytail. He lies down and adjusts his hair. He looks over at Millie, then turns away and closes his eyes. She lies with her eyes open. Millie walks through a grand, ornate hallway. A woman consoles a crying man.
They're not going to take you seriously, Millie. They'll look at you and say, it's not a calling, it's just a whim.
It's not just a whim. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to sing. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life as a fund manager.
You think opera singing is no more difficult than fund management?
Well, I'm going to give myself the year to find out.
Well, just to prove something.
No, it's not just to prove a point. It's because it's what I want to do. And why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I follow my heart?
It normally takes years, and people mostly start a lot younger.
Patricia, I'm not that old, and it is not too late. I'm willing to do this with or without your help.
Okay. If you want to take the fast track, there is one way. a competition, like singer of renown. If you win, you land a role with a major opera company. But, yeah, you know, you're up against the sharpest young singers in the country at the peak of their form.
Okay, well, where do I start?
A business card.
Megan Jeffrey Bishop. She's a little unorthodox.
Well, as long as she gets results.
Well, in her own way. Most of her students are now in psychiatric care, but the ones who survived became major stars.
Oh.
Just joking. Don't worry, you will love her. She's one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. She's supposedly retired, but who knows? I'll give her a call.
Thank you.
They hug.
You're going to change my life.
I hope not.
A row of cottages in a mountainside village.
Stop! What are you trying to do? This is one of the most delightful arias ever written, and you're turning it into noise pollution.
Well, I was just...
Shut up! Start again, bar 32.
In a farmhouse.
Shit. What do you want?
Hi, this is Millie Cantwell. Patricia Hartley said she'd talk to you about me.
Who?
My friend, Patricia Hartley, from the Music Conservatoire. Did she call?
I don't know, I don't remember. What do you want?
Oh, singing lessons.
Singing lessons?
Yes, I'd like to study with you.
I'm not taking on any more students. I'm sorry.
Please, Patricia said that you might be able to make an exception for me, and she also said that although your fees are very high, it would be worth every penny.
Oh, and how high did you say my fees are?
Oh, pretty high.
And how much do the others charge?
As much as 100 a lesson.
And I charge quite a bit higher than that?
Yes, it seems so, quite a bit.
All right, you can come and audition.
Oh, I have to audition to be your student.
Yes, I didn't take on lost causes.
Can I send you a sound file?
Well, what in God's name is that?
You listen to it on your computer?
I don't have a computer.
Oh.
Just a moment.
She leafs through an empty diary and picks up the phone again.
I can give you half an hour this coming Saturday morning at 8:15 sharp.
8:15 in the morning?
Yes. Don't be late.
On the other end of the line, Millie lowers her phone slowly. Megan walks back to the piano. Her student watches her.
Why are you doing this?
I can do what I like.
You're supposed to be retired. Supposed to be just me.
Well, so far, Mr. Just You, you've been on what I would call a full scholarship.
I work for you. I do everything you need.
Yes, but you're not going to get me a place in a 5-star nursing home, are you? Or find the money to get the fucking roof fixed?
I'll fix the fucking roof!
No, you won't! Well, stop fretting about it. She won't pass the audition anyway.
Well, how do you know?
Oh, grow up.
He storms away.
Max! Come back here!
He stops in the doorway and turns around. She stares him down. He returns to his music stand by the piano.
Bar 32.
Donne ragazzi. The sun shines over a valley. London lit up at night. Charlie and Millie sit at a restaurant. They hold hands over the table.
I had plans. I was going to get us a puppy.
Puppy? Really?
And I thought maybe we could look for a house together and dog would have a garden to play in. And
we will. Honey, we will.
Millie, why are you doing this? To yourself, to us. Please, please think again. Talk to your therapist.
I don't have a therapist.
What?
I only pretended to have a therapist.
What? Why?
I don't know. Because you like complicated women, and I didn't want to seem too plain and simple.
But you are complicated.
No, I'm not.
You mean a genius fund manager with a brilliant career ahead of her runs off to join the circus? That's not complicated.
I'm not going to join the circus. I'm going to Drumbucken to learn how to be an opera singer.
Drum who?
Drumbucken. It's in the Scottish Highlands.
Oh. Well, that makes the circus seem quite rational.
She grabs his tie and yanks him close.
Charlie, you are going to raise your glass and toast to my success. Or go fuck yourself.
She lets go. He kisses her hand and nods. He raises a glass.
To your success, my love.
They toast and smile. Charlie sleeps in bed alone. Millie packs white leather suitcases into the boot of a car. She presses a button, the boot closes, and she drives away. A creek runs through a valley. Millie drives on the open road beside it. Snow-capped mountains in the distance. Millie drives along a narrow country road, her head moving with the music. A tractor approaches down the narrow road. Millie looks away, distracted by the music. As she looks up, she sees the tractor stop right in front of her. Max sings. Megan's back turned to him.
Well, that was fucking awful.
She turns and gets up from her desk. Max frowns. She lowers a disc onto a record player. She turns it on and places the needle at the start of the record. Max watches as she walks past him. She folds her arms and sits down on a couch, staring straight ahead. Max, with his hands in his pockets, walks over and sits down next to her. On the desk in front of them is a black and white photo of a younger Megan, in costume and on stage. Megan slides down and leans on Max's shoulder. Another black and white photo of Megan performing.
I'm going to head over to work.
She sits up straight. Max gets up and walks away. Water drips into a near full metal bucket on the floor. Megan blinks heavily and leans her head back. Millie drives by a river, a Gothic church behind her. She approaches an inn called the Filthy Pig. An older man in a kilt sits out the front. Max approaches him with a toolbox in hand.
What do you want done first?
Upstairs. The sink in number two. Disgusting.
They both turn and watch Millie's car pull into the drive. Max walks inside. Millie unbuckles her seatbelt and sits in the car for a moment.
Why? Are you full?
No. It's just that if I give you a room, I've then got to give you a guided tour of the amenities, then turn your bed down and put one of those after-dinner mints on the pillow. And in the morning, I need to strip the bed, wash the sheets, dry the sheets, mop the floor, clean the toilet, and get one of those this toilet has been sanitised things and put that in the bowl. And for what? For £45. It's not really worth the effort.
If things turn out, I might stay a year.
What things?
Do you know Megan Jeffrey Bishop?
I'm afraid so.
I'm auditioning for her. I'm hoping she'll train me.
Max drops his toolbox. Millie jumps and turns.
It needs a new hot water tap.
Max, get the ladies' bags.
What?
Get the ladies' bags and take them upstairs to her room.
Her room?
Yes, she's staying with us, Max, possibly for a whole year. The bags.
Millie takes out her keys and presses them to unlock the car as Max walks past.
The bridal suite. I'm afraid it's all we have at the moment.
He holds up an old key with a pig-shaped keychain. Max unloads Millie's suitcases from the boot of her car. He drapes a red laptop bag over his shoulder.
Training for anything in particular?
A singer of renown competition. Have you heard of it?
He knocks her suitcase against the railing. Max leads Millie into her room. He places her suitcases down and tosses her red bag onto the bed. She places her handbag on a dresser.
But I need to show you.
She follows him over to the bathroom.
Well, don't touch that tap, okay?
Okay, so there's only cold water in the basin.
That'd be correct.
Well, does the hot water tap work in the bathtub?
I don't know.
Can I try?
Okay.
She turns the tap on.
That's fine.
Sure.
He turns to walk out.
Wait, please. Here, thanks.
She offers him a few coins. He looks at her and walks out. Millie frowns and closes her palm. At the bar, the innkeeper reads the paper. Millie walks downstairs.
Would it be possible to get something to eat? Or perhaps you could direct me to where I may be able to find something to eat?
No, this would be about your only choice, but we were planning on closing the kitchen early.
Oh.
I'll ask the chef.
Millie leans on the bar. She looks over to a patron seated behind her who smiles and waves. She waves back. The innkeeper returns.
What would you like?
Do you have any local specialties?
She'll have the special. You're very fortunate, you know. We are usually booked solid on a Friday evening.
So what happened tonight, then?
Oh, who knows? The winds of change, I venture to say. The internet, social media, live streaming. We don't know who we are anymore.
He sets her a table and she sits down. In the kitchen, Max ladles food into a bowl. He knocks a slice of bread onto the floor, then picks it up and blows on it. Patrons stare at Millie.
You're from America?
Yes, but I've been living in London.
What did you do down there?
I was in fund management.
Fund management? How was that?
Oh, I hated it.
Pay crap?
No, the pay was great.
Was your boss a tosser?
No, actually, he became my boyfriend.
So if the pay was great and you were on cordial terms with the management, why did you hate it?
It wasn't fulfilling.
They all turn to each other with puzzled looks. Max brings food out from the kitchen to her table.
Oh. You're the chef here as well.
Is that so difficult to imagine?
Sorry. Is there a problem?
Problem.
Do you always answer a question with a question?
Why would I do that?
She stares at him as he walks away. The patrons watch as he walks past. Millie wipes her hands on her clothes and pulls the plate closer. She picks up some food with a spoon. She looks up and sees the patrons and the innkeeper all staring at her. She smells the food on her spoon and then tries it hesitantly. The innkeeper watches with a furrowed brow.
This is really good.
Clever boy, old Max.
Hey, Ramsay, do you think he'll make it this year? Do you think he'll break the curse?
I don't know. I think he's up against some stiff competition.
They turn to look at Millie, who looks up from her plate.
The filthy pig.
Are you serious?
Yes, the filthy pig, that's what it's called. Well, it's the only pub in the village. Or it kind of is the village, as far as I can tell.
Is that really it?
Oh, no, apparently there's a tractor repair shop and a post office somewhere, but that's pretty much it.
Have you met your teacher?
No, I'm going to meet her tomorrow morning.
Where is she?
It's just over the hill.
Well, good luck.
Hey, you never know. Could be back tomorrow night with my tail between my legs.
Hey, I'm sorry about the circus thing.
Thank you. Okay, good night, honey.
Night.
Bye.
Morning. Millie is wearing purple boots and a black dress. She stands with her arms dangling by her side. She looks around. Megan sits behind her desk and looks Millie up and down.
Got a train to catch?
No.
So you were just clearing your throat in preparation for this audition?
Yes.
Oh, good, that's a great relief, because I would absolutely hate to think that you were impatient and had an obnoxious sense of entitlement, which goes with your overall appearance. Am I making you nervous? I said, am I making you nervous? Or are you deaf?
No.
No, I'm not making you nervous, or no, you're not deaf?
I'm not deaf.
So I am making you nervous?
Yes.
Good. Then let's proceed. Did you prepare something?
Yes, I did.
What is it?
It's Voi Che Sapete from The Marriage of Figaro.
Okay, let's hear it.
Millie bends down and grabs her handbag from the floor. She opens it and takes out her phone. She unlocks her phone, then places it on the piano next to her. She presses play.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me.
Outside, Max closes a door behind him. He walks across the courtyard with his toolbox in hand. Max turns a tap outside. He looks up. Megan walks outside to where Max works.
Well, that was incredibly mature. That was so mature of you, so unbelievably mature, that I'm thinking of creating a certificate of maturity.
A big one, and getting it framed.
So I've got something large and heavy to hit you around the head with.
It's dreadful. It'd be a complete waste of time. You know that.
Shut up!
Don't do it! Don't lower yourself!
Later, at the pub.
You ruined my audition. Was the plumbing really that urgent, or did you just not like my singing?
Yeah, you're a complete amateur. She's not going to accept you.
He turns and walks away. She frowns.
Really? Don't take any notice.
Ramsay clears glasses and walks out. Megan pours liquor from a decanter into a glass.
You are a sad excuse for a singer. I could tell after the first note. You have one party piece, which is just above karaoke standard. And you think you really are something. The person who sent you owes me an apology. You owe me an apology.
I'm sorry.
Shut up! I haven't quite finished telling you how worthless you are, which is the first thing you need to know when you become one of my students.
You're accepting me?
I'm accepting you as a challenge. The sort of challenge it makes no sense to accept. Why? Because supposedly I'm mad. The mad diva of Drumbachan.
Thank you.
These are my rules. No drugs.
No, it won't be a problem.
No alcohol.
Is that bad for the vocal cords?
No. It weakens the resistance to distractions.
But I'm staying in a pub.
Yes, ironic, isn't it? And no visitors. You can leave the past behind, including that bubble of self-adoration you live in. Some people say an opera singer needs to suffer, and I shall certainly make things as unpleasant for you as I can. So, maybe you should get out now, before it costs you anything.
Megan stands in front of Millie.
I think I'll stay.
More fool you. What do you think of Drumbachan?
It's quite charming.
Really? I can't stand it.
Then why are you here?
A woman came to me after seeing my Tosca in 83 and said she'd leave me her farmhouse. It was only once I got here that I wondered if she'd actually liked my Tosca.
Megan takes a sip and turns away.
Any questions? No? What? We'll start in the morning.
Megan walks out. Millie raises her brows, nods, and looks around the empty room. Millie walks through the yard outside. Millie rounds a corner. Megan stands in the doorway as Max leaves. Max looks at Millie and then walks off past her. She turns to watch him go.
Are you ready? He's my other student.
He's very good.
Are you surprised?
Well, I just...
Yes, you are. You're surprised that someone like Max can sing like that. You condescending little bitch. Come inside.
Millie raises her eyebrows.
Do it.
I can't.
I said do it. God, you're even worse than I thought. You're paying by check or cash? I prefer cash.
Mrs. Jeffrey Bishop?
Yes?
I would like to enter the Singer of Renown competition.
Oh, really?
Can you prepare me for it?
Yes.
Well, now that you've heard how awful I am, how long do you think it'll take?
As long as you can afford.
Millie frowns. Sitting at the bar, Ramsay pours her a drink.
How do you know all about Megan's rules?
You're in a place where there's not really a great deal to know. I mean, you must have noticed there's not really much happens around here to tax the brain, so therefore I can proudly claim to know everything there is to know.
Tell me about Max.
Well, there's an exception. I don't know everything there is to know about Max. Nobody does. Not even Max.
Millie nods and raises her glass.
I'll tell you what I think you want to know. He's been studying with Megan for about 5 years. He's twice tried to win the Singer of Renown competition, and this will be his last attempt.
Hello, Ramsay.
Hi.
Just one more thing.
It's Megan just taking my money, knowing that I don't have a chance.
Well, you are sort of the local economy right now.
All right there, Jimmy. Oh, Judy, you're looking terribly well.
La, la, la,
open your mouth. La. Open it. Open wider. I said wider, girl. Wider. La. Come on. La. Where's your tongue? Stick it out. Stick it out. Stick it out. Stick it out. Keep singing. Keep singing. Singing. La. Come on. Sing. Sing.
Hi, darling. How's it going?
Great. Great. It's really exciting.
You sound a bit strange.
Is everything all right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
How are you, honey?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I can't talk wrong. She might check my phone.
Who?
Megan, my teacher. She has Rose.
She has what?
Rose.
Megan grabs Millie's throat. At the pub, Millie holds her throat. Millie runs her fork through her food. Max places a jug of liquid in front of her. She looks up at him as he sits.
Warm salt water. Well, it's hot at the moment, but it should be warm by the time you're upstairs. And you gargle with it as long as possible. 2 minutes or more. Don't swallow. Should be okay in the morning.
She's a fucking sadist.
It's a process.
I bet she hasn't had sex in like 20 years.
8 years.
They look over to Ramsay. He looks down. Millie turns back to Max and winces. In the morning, downstairs, Ramsay takes chairs off tables. He looks up at the ceiling and then sits down. At the farm, Megan checks the oil in her car. Ramsay walks up to the open hood.
You know, if you're going to take the young woman's money, you should at least respect her efforts. I mean, she can't sing.
What business is it of yours?
Everything's my business. You're behaving like an angry old diva. It's as if you want to punish the young woman because she could be what you should have been.
Should have been? I was.
But look at you now. A fallen idol with only people like me to admire you.
Technically, Ramsay McFadgen, I know you have balls and they're not a pretty sight, but otherwise, you lack the manhood to have a say about anything. So how is it that you, the very model of failure and downward mobility, have come to give me advice? Or is it more admiration?
Max and Megan climb into the car. Ramsay stands and shakes his head. The old car judders through the village. At a deli, a woman slices smoked salmon.
Don't think of her as a rival. Maybe you should think of her as the wind at your back, which is exactly what you need. Trouble is, I don't know if she's got the backbone to last. Give me 10 more slices.
God, how much is she paying you?
Let me make this clear. Okay, I am taking her money, but I'm not just taking her money. The girl might have potential.
How much potential?
I suppose we'll see.
Max stares at Megan. Max watches Millie sing to a pair of Highland cattle. She walks over to him.
Do you breathe through your nose or your mouth?
My mouth.
Huh.
Millie walks past Max as he sits, tinkering with the tap. He looks over to the door as she walks inside.
Max?
Just a moment.
Max stands in the doorway with a stack of books.
Yes.
If you decide you want to breathe through your nose and your mouth, you should read Rodgers and Blum. Pfeiffer argues that breathing should not be conscious and voluntary, but unconscious and involuntary.
Would you like to come in?
No. There are different schools of opinion. Sing loudly before you sing softly, sing softly before you sing loudly. The larynx should move, the larynx should not move. Raise the palate, don't raise the palate. Diction's vital, diction's crap. It's all there.
He hands her the stack.
Thanks.
Millie looks at the books, perplexed. She turns and closes the door with a foot. Max and the other men jog.
So, what's going on, pal? Give us all the lurid details.
What are you talking about?
Ah, you and the girl. What's her name? Molly?
Millie.
Ah, they are, eh? Committed her name to memory. Copulation is sure to follow.
They say it's good for the vocal cords.
Aye. His or hers?
Oh, piss off.
Well, could be worse.
Millie smiles as she walks away.
That young woman has shown more determination in the last 3 months than you have in 5 years. The future for you, as I see it right now, and I may be doing you a favour here, is a typical cruise ship with regular burials at sea. You'd do well on one of those, crooning your way around a bunch of senile old deaf people who all have one foot in the grave. Pull yourself together.
As Max leaves with his toolbox in hand, he walks past Millie. Megan watches on. Millie smiles and Max moves out of her way.
Hello, Millie. Oh, it's so nice to hear from you. How's it all going?
Well, she has tried to kill me, but not for a while, so I think there's a good chance I might actually survive.
You've come a long way. I think you're ready for this.
What is it?
Composition by Mozart.
Mozart wrote this?
Yes. Let's see what you can do with it.
Couldn't I try something a little more challenging?
Not for your first performance.
As in, public performance?
Yes, in Edinburgh, the Princess Royal Theatre.
Don't you think we're rushing things a little bit?
Yes, of course, but Edinburgh is a qualifier for singer of renown. Now, do you want to go for it or not?
Millie nods hesitantly. She turns and takes her coat from the rack behind her. In her room, she transcribes the music. On a rainy day, she jogs along the lake. Max approaches from behind on a bike.
Why are you jogging?
What?
Why are you jogging?
For my lungs, mostly.
Did Megan tell you to do that?
No, my boyfriend suggested it.
You've got a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
Does Megan know?
I don't see what that has to do with anything.
But is your boyfriend more important than your career?
My career as an opera singer.
This is just an interesting hobby for you.
Why are you asking me all these questions? Why is it any of your business?
I'd like to help you.
Help me? How?
Well, for one thing, too much jogging's not going to do you any good. I can show you some exercises that will expand your lungs without damaging the rest of your body.
Max, why would you want to help me?
Well, because when you're at the Edinburgh Recital, you'll be there as one of Megan's students. I don't want her being publicly embarrassed.
So then what would you suggest?
Come over to my place.
Your place?
I shouldn't be visiting guests in their rooms.
I see.
He nods and rides away. She shakes her head and continues jogging. At Max's place, A bed and a living area set up in an old workshop on the farm.
Oh, do you mean on my bare skin?
No, that won't be necessary.
Oh, okay.
That's Sing.
Oh.
He holds his hand on her chest.
I can't feel anything. Try again. No, I still can't feel anything. Put your hands on me.
She lays her hand on his chest. She gazes at him. He turns to her.
Could you do that again?
Yep.
He looks ahead. She gazes at him and sways slightly.
Can you feel the vibrations?
Yeah.
Do you think you can find those vibrations?
Mm-hmm.
Megan leaves her house, carrying a coat over her arm. Across the yard, Max leaves his place with a suitcase. Millie leaves the inn with a dress on a hanger over her shoulder. She places the dress and some bags on the back seat of her car. Megan's old blue car judders out of the drive. They drive along a country road through a valley. Singers warm up along a large mirror wall.
Oh, my goodness, here she is. Ah, surprised to see you again, Max. What keeps you coming back?
Well, it must be the camaraderie.
Max walks on. Millie enters and looks around the room. She turns and runs out. She runs down an alley. Max runs after her.
Hey, what are you doing?
Max, leave me alone.
What's happened?
I've had an epiphany.
But now's not the time for epiphanies.
Oh no, now is the perfect time because I can finally see what's going on here. I am being set up to fail. I'm not in the same class as these people. I don't belong here except to entertain you all while I fall face first into the shit.
Max shakes his head.
You spoiled brat. Do what you like.
He walks back towards the theatre. She turns and watches him go. Millie watches the onstage performance on a monitor screen backstage. The other singer from earlier stands behind Millie and looks her up and down. The singer bows. In the crowd, Megan claps slowly. A presenter walks on stage.
Emily Wheeler, ladies and gentlemen. And next, we are pleased to welcome back from Drumbachan, Mr. Max Thistlewick. Max is looking to qualify for Singer of Renown under the tutelage of Mrs. Megan Jeffrey Bishop, who is also with us here today. Mrs. Jeffrey Bishop.
Megan stares, expressionless.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Thistlewaite.
Max steps into the spotlight on stage. He looks out to the crowd and then over to the pianist.
Votre dost, je peux vous le rendre, Seigneur, Seigneur, car avec les soldats, il est un héros, peuvent s'entendre, pour plaisir, ils ont les combats.
Millie watches on the monitor. She smiles and sways slightly.
Who are you with?
Megan Jeffrey Bishop.
Oh. So you're entering singer of renown, are you?
Possibly.
How long have you been at it?
I'd rather not say.
That long, huh?
Afraid so.
Millie Cantwell, you're up next.
Millie gathers herself and turns. Megan claps blankly. Max walks off stage and sits next to Megan.
Mr. Max Thistlewaite. And now we have a newcomer, also under the tutelage of Mrs. Jeffrey Bishop. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Millie Cantwell.
A spotlight shines on Millie. She walks to centre stage. Megan and Max watch on. Absorbed in the performance, Max applauds. Later, driving through the valley at night, Megan and Max stare straight ahead.
You were good.
Millie in bed in the morning.
Charlie, why are you calling me so early? What?
Millie smiles as she looks at her laptop screen. At the cottage, chickens peck on the ground around Megan as she drops feed for them. Ramsay walks through the gate behind her.
What do you want?
You need to see this.
I haven't got my reading glasses. What is it?
A review.
Ramsay shows her a newspaper.
The familiar voice of Max Thistlethwaite brought more of the same standard that local concert goers have come to expect. Technical proficiency of the highest order, and a lack of the emotional depth needed for an aria so full of erotic passion as the Toreador song from Carmen. Much like perfectly cooked fish and chips, without the zing of the malt vinegar, there really isn't much point to it.
The headline, Edinburgh Singing Qualifier reveals a new, twinkling star.
An unfamiliar voice delivered delightfully unexpected results when Millie Cantwell coaxed genuine grace and charm out of Mozart's witty variations on Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. We must be sure to keep an eye out for Miss Cantwell. What we heard was the nascence of a beautiful voice, full of feeling, but free of pretension or condescension. Twinkle, twinkle, fucking star.
Charlie and his colleagues toast.
Do you think the girl can do it? Do you think she can go on to win singer of renown?
It is possible.
And is that what you want?
It's nothing to do with what I want. If she comes out on top, then it's meant to be.
I don't understand. Max came so close to winning last time, so damn close. It'll break his heart.
What did you say?
I said it will break his heart.
Then maybe he'll learn how to sing.
Ramsay stares at Megan. She turns and drops more chicken feed.
It's lovely to see you, Megan.
Oh, piss off.
He nods and walks back to the gate.
Don't be pathetic. It wasn't a negative review, it was a mixed review.
Fish and chips without vinegar.
You are the victim of a pretentious critic with verbal diarrhea.
And Millie's putting me to shame and you helped her do it.
Oh, are you a man or a muppet? She's what you'll compete with in the real world. Now, this is critical for you, you understand? You're better than her, but she has tricks you don't have. Learn what they are. Learn how she does it. And sit up straight.
What, any other suggestions?
Yes. You and Millie are going to prepare a duet.
What?
When people sing together, they hear their own voice in a completely new way. It's time you started. You've been in your own cocoon for too long. Here. It's about acting, too. So watch her face, watch what she does, and learn from it.
Millie sits, reading sheet music out the front of the inn. Max sits next to her.
So Megan's pitting us against each other.
Well, we could look at it as a cooperative venture, where we challenge each other, raise the bar.
Then you agree it's a good idea?
Yeah, I do.
For one of us, anyway.
Well, whatever happens, happens.
In the meantime, we should behave professionally. You deserve the same chance as I do.
It's very noble of you.
Well, don't get too emotional.
I won't.
He nods at her and walks off.
Thank you, by the way, for helping me prepare for the concert. It made a big difference.
He turns and walks away. Millie smiles and shakes her head. In her room.
Hey, sweetie.
I hope this isn't a bad time.
It is. I'm sorry, I'm actually running late.
Okay, don't worry, I'll call you back. I have a little surprise.
Oh, God, you haven't gone and bought a puppy, have you?
We'll talk later. Love you.
Okay, bye. Love you.
She puts her phone down and returns to the bathroom. At Max's place, Millie looks at a framed photo of Max and Megan.
Ready?
Yeah.
She puts the photo down. They stand at music stands, facing each other.
Oh,
They gaze at each other. They slowly move closer. They lean in to kiss each other. Their lips almost touch. The caller ID reads Charlie.
Hello? What?
Millie looks over to Max. Charlie takes a bag from the boot of a car and walks towards the filthy pig. Millie rounds the corner.
Oh my God! What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I had to see you.
They hug.
Do they do food? I'm starving.
Yes.
They sit at a table together.
Wow, that was delicious. Who thought you have to come to the filthy pig to find the perfect meal?
Max, wearing an apron, takes their plates. Charlie takes a sip of wine. Max looks down at Millie. She looks him up and down. Max walks off.
Compliments to the chef.
Max turns briefly and then continues on.
Surly type.
Yeah.
Millie smiles and looks down.
Charlie, I'm so glad that you came, but why did you drive up here?
When I read out that review of yours to the team at work.
Wait. You did that?
Yeah. I've never felt more proud in all my life. And later on, when I thought about it, I've never felt more ashamed that I didn't understand who you are. That I didn't even try to.
I mean, you sort of tried.
Well, I want to try harder, baby. I can't imagine anything more exciting than being the paramour of a great diva. I'll massage your feet, and I'll buy you flowers every day. How about that?
All this, just one review.
Yes. I felt terrible about how I misjudged you. That's why I drove all the way up here. I really need to tell you how sorry I am. And how much I admire you. And adore you.
Came all this way just to tell me that.
Max peeks around the corner. Upstairs, Millie and Charlie sit on the bed. She reaches out to him. They kiss. Night. The light upstairs turns off. At his place, Max frowns and sits leaning against his bedhead. He gets up, grabs the sheet music from Millie's music stand, scrunches it, and tosses it away. He lays down on his bed. Out the front of the filthy pig, Charlie loads his bag into the boot of his car. He walks to the driver's side door and then turns back to Millie.
Bye.
Bye.
They kiss. Max watches them from across the lawn. Charlie gets into his car. Later, Megan watches them sing. Teary-eyed, Megan nods and pats her chest.
You can go now.
They start to pack up their sheet music.
Just one suggestion. You might consider actually looking at each other when you sing a love duet.
Millie glances over to Max. Megan turns back to her desk. Outside, Max and Millie walk away from the barn, both looking down at the ground.
I'm sorry about just rushing off yesterday. I really wasn't expecting my friend to just show up like that.
That's okay.
Can I ask you for a favor?
A favor?
Please don't tell Megan.
About what?
About Charlie being here. She just has this thing about visitors and other distractions.
I won't say anything, don't worry.
Thank you.
You and Charlie engaged?
No. No, and he's what you'd call my significant other.
Sounds like a personality disorder.
It's not personality disorder.
Well, it doesn't exactly sound like a love match.
Millie looks up at Max and then looks away. They continue down the drive, side by side. Megan and Max shop.
You like her, don't you? You like her a lot.
Who?
Who? Mabel the cow? Don't play coy with me.
She hands him two packs of sausages.
But she says she has a commitment to someone else.
A commitment? Is that the word she used?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She hands Max two wheels of cheese. He puts them in a basket.
Why is that interesting?
Well, it doesn't exactly reek of romance, does it?
She hands Max a pie, which he adds to the basket. They drive home along a river. Max rests his head on the window with his eyes closed. Megan looks over to him as she drives.
Can I make a suggestion?
Max opens his eyes.
Go away for a few days.
To get her out of my system?
No, because she'll miss you.
Are you serious?
How many jokes have you heard me tell?
One of the town regulars stands behind the bar, shifting about as he leans on his elbows. Ramsay walks out from the kitchen carrying a plate of food. He sets it in front of Millie.
Where's Max?
Gone.
Gone as in, like, evaporated?
That's a very poetic way of putting it, but I just mean gone. As in, not here. As in, didn't turn up for his work. As in, not to be found at his usual place of abode. So you'll just have to put up with my cooking.
Well, did he say how long he was gone for?
No, he didn't share that information with me.
Ramsay turns back towards the bar. Millie lifts up the plate of food and sniffs it.
This smells terrible.
Ramsay nods and walks back to the kitchen.
Thinking about?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? Are you a yogi? Do you manage somehow to go into a deep meditative trance and think of nothing while you sing?
No.
Really, if there's something on your mind, you can tell me.
There's nothing to tell.
At night, Millie lies in bed awake.
Sit down. You need to learn to control your emotions.
What?
When you sing the high notes, don't push the voice. People will think you're showing off.
I will hold it back a bit.
And by the way, you've qualified for the Singer of Renown contest.
Oh my God. What about Max?
But of course.
Megan gives Millie a wry smile. Millie smiles and looks down. In bed, she turns off her lamp. She closes her eyes and smiles as she nestles in under the covers. Grey's in a field with rolling green hills beyond. Millie walks downstairs at the Filthy Pig. Stools are upturned on the bar. She sees a table in the dining room set up with a white tablecloth and a bottle of champagne. Upstairs, she sprays her neck and wrists with perfume. She looks at herself in the mirror, smiles, and gets up. Max lays two plates of eggs royale on the table. Mimosas and champagne flutes and other breakfast foods are laid out. Max looks up to see Millie.
Just in time.
She gazes at him. They sit down to eat.
Congratulations.
Max holds up a champagne flute.
And to you?
To us, then.
Millie smiles. They drink.
Oh, damn, that's good. Let's hope Megan doesn't find out about this.
Oh, we shouldn't worry about Megan right now.
They tuck into their food. Millie takes a bite.
Where did you learn to cook like this?
Megan taught me.
Oh.
We've known each other a while.
It sounds like she was like a bit of a mother to you.
No, not really.
Max looks down.
The only mother I can remember was Mother Superior, and she wasn't very motherly. But she did put me in the choir. Well, why are you here?
Well, as you know, I gave up a very comfortable life of white-collar crime to become an opera singer.
But why opera?
Millie takes a sip and then puts her drink down.
I don't know. I've always loved to sing, and I think I'm irresistibly attracted to the tragedy of it all. Every opera ends in death, and every love affair is accompanied by pain and betrayal, and it's just all so dramatic. I know, it's like you get to sing it all out and then have a good cry, and you just feel so much better after. And you know what? I love that every heroine in an opera is not the kind of girl you bring home to your mother. There's just like the slave girl and the terminally ill girl and the hooker. These men are forever getting mixed up with the wrong kind of women.
Certainly happens.
Millie shakes her head and smiles.
It sure does.
They gaze at each other.
If the Three Stooges could do opera, then I could do it. Mm-hmm. In fact, Shemp went to Juilliard.
Huh?
He was one of their top students.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh.
Max closes the laptop with the Three Stooges film. He returns to Millie in bed. They kiss. He starts to undress her.
Wait. No. I can't do this. This is a line I cannot cross. I am deceitful, and I am a liar, and I'm a two-timer, but I'm not technically a cheater, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And technically, I could say I did not have sexual relations with that man. Is that not so?
You could honestly say that.
Okay, good.
She gets up from the bed and leaves. Max watches her go. His shirt undone and his hair rumpled, Max looks around. He grabs his jacket. A lock stretches out under a blue sky surrounded by mountains. Millie sits and looks out over the water. Max walks up behind Millie. She turns.
Look, I don't mind that we didn't technically have sex.
You don't? What tribe are you from?
I'll take a rain check. Tribe.
Oh. So you see a future in this, do you?
No. Can't see anything at the moment. It's all a blur. Don't know what to call it.
I'm sorry. I'm really confused right now about a lot of things. The one thing I'm not confused about is that I came here to win a singing competition. So I just really need you to stay away from me until this is over.
Max frowns and looks around. Millie gets up and walks over to him.
I'll make my own dinners from now on, okay?
Millie smiles tightly. Max stares at her, his brow knit. In her room, Millie sits on the floor at the end of her bed. In the kitchen, she spoons mushy food from a pan onto a plate, watched by Ramsay. Max lies in bed staring at the ceiling. He leaves his place, toolbox in hand. He walks past Millie as she heads towards the barn, both pointedly looking away from each other. In a montage, they perform vocal exercises. As Millie leaves, Max walks down the drive. They blank each other as they pass. At the Filthy Pig, Max carries Millie's bags outside. She follows behind him, carrying her red laptop bag and some dresses over her shoulder. He places her bags in the open boot of her car. She puts her red laptop bag in. She brushes her hair from her face and looks over to Max. He presses the button on the boot and it closes. They turn to each other.
I'll see you in London.
She puts her hand on his chest.
Yeah, see you there.
Millie gets in her car. Max walks back inside. London at night. In a foyer, people dressed in formal wear mill around a sign that reads, Singer of Renown Final. Millie walks down a backstage hallway. She passes other singers and stage crew. She walks into a crowded dressing room and takes a seat in front of the mirror.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Grand Theatre London. You are about to hear 15 remarkable young artists as they compete for the title of Singer of Renown.
A singer on stage looks around the crowd. Backstage.
Rosa Petullo, to the stage, please.
Oh, God, that's me. Red
or pink? Are you okay?
No, 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 I'm not.
Rosa grabs her mouth.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh.
Get it all out.
That's right.
Oh, that was a good one.
Feeling better?
Not much.
Well, the good news is... I didn't get any on your dress.
Oh, God.
Millie walks her out of the bathroom.
I can't go through with this.
Yes, you can. I didn't think I would come to pieces like this.
You're not in pieces. You are in one solid piece.
This is it.
The singer on stage bows.
You have to let go of my hand.
Please welcome Rosa Petullo.
The host motions to Rosa. She walks on stage, her brow knitted and her eyes darting around. She glances out to the crowd, then closes her eyes. She takes center stage, her head bowed. old radio in the Filthy Pig. Ramsay and the patrons crowd around the bar, nodding along. Millie, backstage.
Millie Cantwell, this is your 10-minute call.
Ramsay reads the show's programme behind the bar.
Who's up next?
Fergus McKenzie from Edinburgh.
El ha si come un angelo in terra pellegrino potestia impareggiabile che s'appresso Modino occhio che parla e ride
Millie Cantwell, to the stage, please.
Millie stares in the mirror.
Sorriso incantator.
The singer on stage looks around the crowd and runs off stage past Millie, who stands in the wings.
Next, please welcome Millie Cantwell.
Millie gathers herself. A spotlight follows her as she takes centre stage. The conductor watches her as he readies the orchestra. Megan watches from the wings. Max appears in the wings and watches. Megan fidgets and breathes deeply. Charlie applauds in the crowd. Megan gives a slight smile.
My God, she could win.
Oh, she could at that.
Millie turns and walks off stage. She passes Max in the wings.
Max, what are you doing? We promised we'd stay away from each other.
Millie, please, there's something I need to ask you.
Max, go away. You're going to be up soon. Now is not the time.
No, now is the time. Marry me.
He gets down on one knee and offers her a diamond ring. They stare at each other. She runs off. He turns after her.
I'm so sorry. I need to pee.
What did she say?
She said she needed to pee.
Max stares after her with a knitted brow. Megan emerges from the costume racks behind him. He turns and sees her. They look at each other. Megan talks with Millie in the bathroom.
Is that what you've decided?
Yes.
Will you tell him? Or would you like me to?
No. Neither of us can tell him. We can't tell him. Just please go out there and tell him that I am feeling really sick and that I am completely overwhelmed and that I can barely talk and that just leave the ring here and tell him I'll see him later. Just let him sing.
I'm sorry, I can't lie to him.
What?
I can't lie to him. Can you?
Millie shakes her head. She picks up the ring box from a small table next to her, a light shining in the box over the ring. They both look down at it. Millie snaps it shut.
What if this ruins everything for him? What if he falls to pieces? All these years of hard work and... How can I live with that?
Do you intend to marry him or not?
No. I don't.
Megan holds her hand out. Millie hands her the ring box.
Then he will either sink or swim.
Megan leaves. Millie tears up and closes her eyes, her face crumpling. Megan fits Max's green tuxedo jacket.
You are hero of the story. You are Figaro, Barber of Seville. Men admire you, women adore you. And you sing ecstatically of your accomplishments. Your pride in who you are. It is a song of joy if ever there was one. And all you feel is the wonder of the moment.
His face is blank.
Max, look at me. You are a happy man.
She dusts his jacket. He exhales deeply.
Let's go.
She takes his hand and walks into the stage.
Donne ragazzi, vecchie fanciulle, fa la parrucca, resto la barba, fa la sanguigna. Presto biglietto, tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, con la parrucca, presto la barba, presto il biglietto, e Figaro, 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 ahimè, ahimè, che furia, ahimè, che folla, per carità, per carità, uno.
You know that guy? He reminds me of the waiter from The Filthy Pig.
Figaro, son qua. Hey, Figaro! Son qua, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro qua. Figaro là, Figaro su, Figaro giù, Figaro su, Figaro giù. Fatto moltissimo, son come il fulmine, sono da Gotham, della città, della città, della città, della città, della città. A bravo figuro, brava vavissimo, a bravo figuro, brava vavissimo, a devo tuna, a devo tuna, a devo tuna, non mancherà. La 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 la, a devo tuna, a devo tuna, a devo tuna, non mancherà. Sono il facotum della città, sono il facotum della città, della città, della città.
Tears roll down his cheeks. Megan claps vigorously and smiles. Max looks out at the crowd, his eyes red-rimmed. He bows. In the foyer.
We just have to
come and say how very much we enjoyed it. One word says it all.
Divine.
No, it was more than divine. It was superbo, fantastico, bravo, bravissimo.
This helps. I can see how nervous you are.
Oh, I don't stand a chance. Never did.
I don't agree. If you didn't stand a chance, you wouldn't be nervous.
Look, I've had an amazing year. No regrets, but it'll be good to get back to reality.
It's a very healthy thing to say. I can see now why you don't need a therapist.
Millie looks over to Max. Max turns and looks over to Millie. Charlie turns and sees Max, who averts his gaze. The singers all stand on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that given the continuing high standard of all the contestants in this competition, in addition to the outright winner, the organisers have decided to also award a second prize.
Max and Millie both look around.
This year's second prize goes to Rosa Petullo.
Rosa hugs Millie. Megan claps slowly in the crowd. A woman on stage hands Rosa flowers. She hands Rosa an award. Rosa bows to the audience. Rosa takes her place beside Millie.
And now, the big moment. The winner of this year's Singer of Renown is...
Ramsey clasps his hands. Charlie crosses his fingers. Megan's face is stony. Millie closes her eyes.
Max Thistlethwaite!
Millie watches him and applauds. Megan claps and smiles.
Well done.
The woman on stage hands Max flowers and an award. Max turns to the crowd and nods. Megan looks skyward as she applauds. Millie smiles tearfully and claps. In the pub, they cheer. The pub's lights are on at night. Millie and Charlie arrive at their house. Millie gets out of the passenger seat and goes to the boot. Millie starts unloading her bags from the boot.
I'll get that.
Thanks.
Charlie takes her two white suitcases. She takes her red bag and closes the boot.
Everything.
Yeah. Wow, it's weird to be back.
They cross the street to their house. Later, they lie in bed together. Charlie snuggled up behind Millie.
What are you thinking about?
I should have realized. There's no fast track. A year is nothing. One might say I should have gotten it out of my system by now, but that hasn't happened, and I don't think it's going to happen. Charlie. I don't think I'm going back to reality as we know it. I'm going to keep studying, and I'm going to keep training my voice. And I'm going to go back there one day and win that damn contest. It's not over.
Charlie rolls his eyes and shakes his head. Millie furrows her brow. She lets go of his hand.
Did you just roll your eyes?
Three years later. A poster reads, Max Thistlethwaite and Fenella Lamorna in Mozart's Don Giovanni. Max and a woman descend a grand stairway.
Fenella's quite sick.
How sick is she?
Way too sick. She's out of it.
Well, who else is available?
We have a choice. They're both here. There's Alyssa Friedrichs, bit of a cow, but did this at La Scala 2 seasons ago. Then there's this new girl, still cutting her teeth, but already making a name for herself.
Right.
Millie Cantwell. Can have either of them here this afternoon.
Who would you go for?
The cow. Less interesting, but safer choice.
Max nods and walks off. She follows him. Max sits in the stalls of an empty auditorium, facing the stage. His gaze flicks around. Millie walks in, standing in front of the stage.
How's your bladder control?
Much better, thank you.
I took back the ring and they gave me a full refund.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they said it happens about 1 in every 3 cases.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, well, they're used to it. They've had strong men break down in their store and cry.
I hope you didn't do that.
How are things with your significant other?
He lost his significance.
Io cangerò tua sorte.
Non son più forte.
Andiamo, mio bene. Ristorar le pene, tu innocentiamo.
On stage, their lips brush.
Andiamo, mio bene, a ristorar le pene, tu innocentiamo.
They kiss.
Andiamo.
In the audience, Megan beams. Credits. Cast in order of appearance. Millie Cantwell, Danielle McDonald. Charlie, Shazad Latif. Victor, Mark Weinman. Patricia, Vicky Pepperdine. Max Thistlewaite, Hugh Skinner. Megan Jeffrey Bishop, Joanna Lumley. Ramsey, Gary Lewis. Rosa Petullo, Rebecca Benson. Soloists, Stacey Alum, Nathan Lay, Lorena Gore, James Eggleston, Thomas Dalton. Co-executive producers, Mark Bamford, Dean Owen Sims, Matthew Hunter, John Ballard and Glenn Bates. Music composed, arranged and produced by Cesare Skubiszewski. Other credits follow. Thank you. Filmed entirely on location in Scotland, produced as an Australian-UK co-production. Financed with the assistance of Sound Firm, financed in association with Fulcrum Media Finance. Developed with the assistance of Create New South Wales, supported by the National Lottery and Scottish Government through Creative Scotland. Post-produced in Melbourne, Australia, with the assistance of Film Victoria. Developed and financed with the assistance of Screen Australia. Logos, Wade Brothers Films, Such Much Films, and Black Camel Pictures. Copyright, Cranky Pig UK Limited, and Five Name Films Proprietary Limited, 2020.